That wasn't very assuring there. It's rainy weather getting to you, isn't it? Amen. I know you thank God for the rain, but I'm not thankful for the rain. I'm ready for some sunshine. I'm ready to go to Florida for a week. Amen. I know Ken is too, right? Amen. All right, well, here we go. Here we are again. This is the fourth week now. I thank the Lord for it. And I was praying about what to do a little bit, and the Lord had impressed upon my heart to go over some things today. And the basis of the whole thing is spiritual growth. And if there's a theme,
thank you.
If there's a theme for today's Sunday school hour, I just want it to be spiritual growth. There's something that's lacking in modern Christianity, and it's real simple. It's not bigger churches. It's not better programs. It's spiritual growth. That's the issue. The problem is there's plenty of Christians, and the churches are full. We don't need more churches. We need more growth. That's what we need. And that's the problem. So I want to talk a little bit about growth. Turn your Bibles to 1 John. But before you go there, I like to keep up on the latest of latest, right? I like to, when I preach and teach, I like to go over some of the things in the news media and maybe some of the things that are out there. I'm a little behind the times, though. Being a Bible believer, I don't spend all my time in the TV or the Facebook or stuff like that. I try to spend a lot of my time with my family and in the Word of God, of course. But who knows what NCIS is, a TV show? Raise your hand if you know what it is. Don't raise your hand if you watch it. Raise your hand if you know what it is, right? Amen. I didn't really know a whole lot about it, but I came across it on Facebook. That's right. I said I came across it on Facebook. Now, my aunt and my family, thank you, Brother Rick. That's a blessing. I need that for sure. Make a long story short is I have family members that are saved, born again, Bible-believing Christians, and you know what the number one post is on their whole little book, Facebook thing there is, I love this show. I love this show. I live for this show. I said, really? What is this thing? If you live for this show and you're pacing all over your stuff, maybe I should look into this. Am I not right with God? What is it? What is this show all about? So I looked into it. Are you ready for this? Don't get mad at me, by the way. All I'm going to do is quote to you what I found by an article. Here's the guy's name, Jim Denson. Get mad at him, not me. I'm going to read you what he wrote. Then I'm going to say amen where I agree with everything. Okay, here we go. Number one show on Nelson's top 10 every week. Also, this was the author's favorite show, he's saying, as he wrote this article. The plots are always new and interesting. Well, I bet they are. You know what the world tries to do? It tries to appeal to you, making everything new and interesting, and make it all about you and all about your interests and fantasies so that you can live out of proxy through someone else's life behind a TV all day and turn your brain into mush. I'm just being honest with you. That's what's going on. And the devil's very good at a lot of things, and one of them is programming you and your children through paid television. Now, I've changed my stance a little bit. I used to always say that TVs are good for two things, hanging coats on and shotgun practice. But amen, that's true. I say paid television is for that. And what I mean by that is all the stuff the world brings on that TV. You can use a TV for good things. You can watch some good godly shows on there. You can watch Dr. Ruckman videos, right? I'm okay with that stuff. So when I'm preaching against TV, I'm preaching against the filth that you allow in your homes. That's what I'm preaching against. Now back to the show here. Now here's the author. He says this. He says, the acting is excellent. Well, of course it is. Of course it is. Now what lessons does it teach us and our families, our children? That's a good point. The author had a really good point. Now that's what you ought to think about yourself. When you put your kid in front of a TV, I was at another person's house over the weekend, and they said they put their kids to bed with the TV every night. That's their business. I think it's wrong. Ask me my opinion. This is my Sunday school hour. It's wrong, okay? If you think otherwise, wait till you're up here. You preach what you want, okay? I'm going to preach what God wants me to preach, okay? Why is it wrong? Well, because you're putting your babysitter is the world. Is that what you're supposed to do as a Christian? You're supposed to let the world babysit your kids? You know what the modern family does? And I say, we're not supposed to be modern family. We're supposed to be Bible-believing Christian families. The modern family takes their kids, okay, honey, here's a candy bar, here's a hot dog, here's some Cheetos. Go to your room, honey, for an hour and watch them. Go watch your TV in your room or play your cell phone or do your video games. What is that? That's letting the world babysit your kids. That's what that is. And then you run to the pastor when your kid turns out like slop and your family's a wreck and you're like, I don't understand where I went wrong. Really? You don't understand? That's the devil's ploy right there. Now, this is a show. NCIS is an adult show. Shouldn't be watching this with kids, number one. But I wanted to know, amen, is right. I wanted to know what was in this thing. So I didn't spend 5 minutes. I let somebody else tell me what was wrong with it. Ready? Here we go. Spirituality is irrelevant. How about that? How many shows do you watch all week long that are spiritually irrelevant? You know what that means? God don't matter. Let's have fun. That's what it says. No character ever goes to church, ever prays over their food, ever has a moral relationship with another female. You know what that is? Spiritual irrelevancy is what that is. Christians get sucked up into this stuff. And that's not all. The self-reliance wins in the day. Gibbs, the famous character. I bet you, who knows who Gibbs is in here? Okay, all right. I'm not against you. Amen. I know who he is now too, right? Check it out. He gets the villain. He never gives up. Not because he turns to God, but because of his own self-will. What's the Bible say about self-will? Well, I'm glad you asked. Amen. I've got 38 verses on self-will in the Bible. 38 verses. I didn't take the time to look it up. I got this from somebody else because I'm lazy. But they're there. You know how easy it is to get biblical truth from somebody else in the days we live in? It's very, very simple. Right? Amen. Amen. Look at Psalms chapter 75:5. It's talking about self-willed. He always gets the bad guy because he perseveres. He chases the bad guys through the railroad tracks, up on the building, and because he's so tough and so strong and his self-will, I'll get the job done. I'll get the job done. It sounds like Lucifer in his fall, doesn't it? He referred to himself as I. Me. That's modern Christianity today. It's all about you. It's all about what God can do for you, what the church can do for you, what the programs can do for you, what the youth group can do for your kids. You know what that is? That's self-will. You know what that is? That's self-centeredness. Where's no God in that? It's all about what can God do for you. You know, that's wrong, brother. That's the day and age we live in. I'm trying to help you today. And this is going to lead into the Sunday school message here. I'm going to talk about spiritual growth. And the name of the message is a mature Christian. What is a mature Christian? I got thinking about that. I'll get back to the self-will thing in a minute. I came up with 23 things I think a mature Christian is. It just happened to be 23. Now, I'm sure there's more. I probably missed some. But I'm only going to have time to probably get to two of them today, maybe. Maybe two or three of them. But the Bible says that there's stages of growth and there's a mature Christian. If there is a mature Christian, don't you want to strive to be one? That's pretty weak. Let me try that again. If there is a mature Christian in the Bible, like Paul the aged, right, we're supposed to strive to be after him. Be followers of me as I am followers of who? Nickelodeon. No, I mean Christ. I'm sorry. Followers of HBO. No. Jesus Christ. Followers of NCIS, no, Jesus Christ. You have to discipline your mind to think like him, and then you'll start to grow as a Christian. Amen. Back up just a second. Psalm, what did I say, 75:5, talking about self-will. If I got my verse right, let's take a look at this real quick. Lift not up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck. Lift not your horn on high. Toot your own horn. You ever heard that? That's a Bible term. That's where it comes from. You know what he does? Toot your own horn. At the end of the show, I haven't even seen it and I could judge it. At the end of the show, he's getting all the attaboys and pats on the back and he says, that's right, I did it. I can do it. That's self-willed. That's being self-willed. There's 38 references on here. I got them. I can read them off to you. Next thing is, how about this? Premarital sex is normal. That's right. Behind the pulpit, I said premarital sex is normal according to this TV show. Is that what you want to teach your children? Sure. Is that what a Christian should involve in his brain, is watch something on TV that has all this fornication? By the way, what's the Bible say about fornication? What's the number one will for a Gentile? You're a Gentile if you're not 100% Jew, by the way. Abstain from what? Fornication. The Bible says flee fornication. For every sin that you do, this one attaches itself to your body, the Bible says. It's fornication. But you're going to take the church and put it on one side of the desk, slide your chair over, turn on NCIS and watch it, and fill your mind with fornication and self-willed and all this garbage, and then you're going to think that God's pleased with that? And you're wondering why you can't grow as a Christian? It's pretty common sense, brethren, isn't it? It's not very hard. If this dumb Polack can get a grasp on it, I'm sure you can too. Amen is right. That's okay. Amen. Premarital sex is normal. Violence is routine. How about that? That goes for any TV show that you're going to watch nowadays. Most paid programming, especially on Hell's Box Office and CNN and all that other slap you watch. You know what that is? That's violence. You think the Lord wants you to fill your head with violence? It's in man anyway. I said, I tell my wife all the time, don't worry about my son. He's going to be plenty manly enough just because he's got testosterone and he is who he is. Don't have to worry about that. You got enough issues in your mind about violence and other things. You don't need to fill your mind with it. Amen. You don't need to watch this garbage. It's garbage. Amen. Let's just be honest and call for what it is. You see, it hurt my feelings. I'm sorry about that. You shouldn't be watching it. It's that simple. If I'm not hurting you. I'm just telling you what somebody else says, and I'm saying amen because I agree with it. Amen. Amen. That's right. I'll amen myself. That's right. You know, someone that really cares about you will sometimes give you a little bit of grit. The Bible talks about salt. Let your conversation, what does it say about conversation? Speech, right? Being what? Seasoned with what? What's salt good for? Nothing if you don't use it, right? Amen. What's it good for? It preserves things. It kills things. You throw a bunch of salt on a place where weeds were growing, does it grow back? Some of you ladies help me out. Will it grow back if you salt something? No, I know that because of the Bible. When they destroyed a city, you know what they did? They salted the city so nothing would grow. They wiped it out. As a Christian, you're supposed to have a little bit of salt to you, a little bit of grit to you. You know what the modern Christianity wants you to do? Wants you to be soft and sappy and love everybody and kumbaya and give hugs. Hug time, hug time. Jesus said, you have salt. You leave the hugs for somebody else. You know what you're supposed to do? You hug someone when it's time to hug somebody. Don't get me wrong. My focus is on growth. How do you grow a blueberry bush? How do you grow? The Bible talks about grapes. How do you grow a grape bush? What are you supposed to do to it? You're supposed to go up and say, hi, Mr. Grape. How you doing today? Please get big. I'm praying for you. Amen. No. Is that what you're supposed to do? It's funny, right? It sounds ridiculous. If I had a sword in my pocket, I'd cut it off. And I'm ripping it out, and I'm burning it, and I'm violently pruning this thing. You know what you're supposed to do to your Christian self? You're supposed to prune yourself. You're supposed to purge yourself. You're supposed to put on the new man, put off the old man. Put on the new man, put off the old man. Walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. You know what this NCI stuff is? It's flesh. Amen. You know what you're going to do? You're going to walk in it. Some of you are going to take this message, and you're like this one ear out the other. There it is. I'm going to go watch my TV show. You can do what you want, brother, but you're not going to grow as a Christian. You're not going to grow as a Christian. Amen. I wanted to talk about this book last time. Quick little book review. Ready? Now we're done with the NCIS. Now here's my book review, right? It's like Mr. Happy Tom, Mr. Rogers up here. When's this guy going to sit down, right? Amen. Never, Lord willing, never. I'll beat it until it can't be beat no more. Why? Because you don't get it. That's why. This book right here. I say that lovingly, brethren, because it's all my, I'm guilty of it myself. I'm preaching to myself right now. I'm not above you. I'm with you. And if I don't preach to myself, I'll slide and fall into this garbage as quickly as some of you are and will. I'm not any better than you. I'm trying to encourage myself. I happen to be up here, and I'm going to encourage you. There's a book here. It's called Entertaining Spirits Unaware. You know, in Deuteronomy 18, there's 9 forbidden practices for a Christian. And the men are smiling. I let them read the book. I read this book when I first got saved. It's copyrighted 2000, right? It talks about in Deuteronomy 18. Make a note of it. Go back to it later. I'll say this briefly, and then I'll move on to the Sunday school message. There's 9 forbidden practices in Deuteronomy 18. And this book, right, it's a good book because it's all about this book right here, okay? And you know what it shows you? It shows that most Christians allow the forbidden practices in their own lives through the TV, through the internet, and through stuff like that. They don't realize the innocent little Papa Smurf is teaching their kids how to have witchcraft. They don't realize how Harry Potter, that cool little geeky dude that makes me laugh or whatever he does, he's a witch. And in the Bible, you're not supposed to suffer a witch to what? Live. I'm not saying a Christian's doing that. It's in the Old Testament. But if God's the same God as he was yesterday, today, and forever, the Bible says, and he's against it, and it's forbidden. And you know what Christians do? They allow forbidden practices in their own homes through the TV mainly, and the internet, and magazines, and books, and games, and play toys, and this and that. And it messes your kids up. And this is a good book. I'll tell you about it. You got to be prepared. Amen. Now, 1 John. Turn to 1 John. Pastors talked about this. There's 7 stages of spiritual growth for a Christian. 7 of them. And we're not going to go through all of them. I'm going to give you the references for them all. In 1 John, you've got, it talks about, I'll just give you all 7 of them first. Seven stages of spiritual growth for a Christian. Babes, babies. Write it down if you have a pen, you're able to, and you want to. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Babes, babies. Next stage, as you grow a little more, little children. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Little children. Next one is children. Galatians chapter 3, and verse 26. Progressing up the ladder of growth, now we have a young man. 1 John 2:13. And we'll look at that one in a minute. And then you have fathers. 1 John 2:13 also. And then you have elders. 1 Peter. You see there's a progression here. You see where this is going? You're supposed to be striving for growth in your Christian walk. Not supposed to just be happy. Not supposed to just be like the average Christian in the Laodicean church age, which you live in now. He's happy. You know what he's doing? He's working a job. He's going to church, okay? He's praying over his food, 1, 2, 3, pray after the food. He may even give out a couple gospel tracts, and he feels good about that. But then he goes home, and he lives a double life. Amen. Maybe not blatantly, but I'll tell you what, spiritually. You go ahead, watch TV, do this. It's like they put God on one side of the pulpit, and then they stand over here, and then I live my Christian life, and I kind of keep God in the very back of my mind, kind of way back there. I try not to look at things I shouldn't look at, but ultimately, you know what you're doing? You're separating your life. What's the Bible say about that? A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. If you're not 100% for Christ, then you're double-minded. That's what the Bible says. Don't tell. The Bible says that. You know why you have so many problems in your Christian life? Because your mind ain't right. It's not focused properly. And the progression goes to fathers, elders, and aged. And I think, did I give you all the references for that? Elders, 1 Peter 5, 1. Aged, Philemon, it's only one chapter, verse 9. And that's what you should do. You should strive for the mastery, the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 9, I think it's 25. Being temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we, an incorruptible crown. That's why you do it, for him. You don't do it because Brother Joe says it or Pastor says it or because you think it's right. You do it for him. Don't worry about it. Anybody else says or thinks, you do it for him. You keep yourself focused on him. And if something is said today that hits you, it's supposed to. It's supposed to help you. If I say something that's going to offend you, well, good. Amen. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. Now, I was a sergeant in the Marine Corps, and I know something about leadership of young men. A good sergeant with grit doesn't walk up and he does sometimes on the side when nobody can see him. He'll coddle somebody or try to give him something. But most of the time, he gives him a good kick in the rear end. Amen. You know what you need? You need a good kick in your spiritual rear end. And I'll help you do it. Amen. Amen. Growing up, driving about 6, 7 years ago, Brother Militello, some of you know who he is. Most of you probably don't. But anyway, here's what the man said. I'm taking him to a Jehovah's Witnesses. I had a brilliant idea, right? Let's go gather up some bunch of street preachers, go stand in front of a Jehovah's Witness convention and preach our guts out to them and see what happens. All right, sounds good. I'm in. So we go and do it, and a guy wants to go with me, and he drives up. Me and my wife drive him up, and I didn't know much about him. Here's a guy, a master's degree. He was a Jesuit. He got saved. He teaches in the public school system, and he knows more about the Jewish history than probably any 10 preachers out there. And he says this. He said, I kind of gather this stuff, and he says, I'm going to write a book. He's sucking me right in. I'm like, man, awesome. What do you got? I want to read it. All right, I'm going to write a book. And what's in it? Two words. Now he's really got me. I'm like, you're going to write a book with two words? What in the world? He says, grow up. It hit me like a ton of bricks, man. I didn't get it then, but I got it now. I'll tell you that right now. Grow up. You know why you get your feelings hurt? Because you won't grow up. You know why you leave church because somebody says something? Because you're a baby. You won't grow up. I'm not hurting you. I'm trying to help you. My little boy, I don't coddle him and he bangs his head. I said, son, you're fine. Let's go. If you're bleeding, we'll stop and we'll look at it. Amen. We're going to do it anyway. I'm just being honest with you. Dealing with the people on the street, you get to see a lot of Christians. You get to see a lot of different stages in growth when you deal with people out on the street. Some of them get saved but don't know any better. That's a lot of truth. Some people get saved and they just don't know any better. And that's okay. We're there at one point in time. Nobody's better than anybody. That the Bible says you're not supposed to think of yourself more highly than the next person. That's sin, by the way. Amen. Everybody's in a different walk of life in here. A different stage in Christian growth, a different age. We'll have different physical ailments, mental problems, health problems, right? We're all messed up. Every one of us, including myself. Amen. Some people get saved And haven't had a hard time. Some people get saved and have a hard time kicking bad habits. We say that on the street all the time. There was a Marine we bumped into last night, and he says he's saved. In one hand, he loves the Lord. In the next hand, he's walking around bumming cigarettes and smoking cigarettes, and he's got a whiskey bottle at his feet, and he's all cracked out on some kind of drug. But in the bottom of his heart of hearts, he wants to do right. Amen. And he's probably saved. Right. He's just messed up. Right. No growth. You get no growth, it messes you up. Amen. You say, I would never do that, really, but you'll watch it on TV. You watch it all day long on TV, and you're doing it spiritually already. Amen. So I don't fornicate, but you are. You're doing it. You're watching it. You're condoning it. Your kids see you watching this slop, and you do it anyway. Right. Amen. Amen. I'm trying to help you today. I'm trying to hurt you. I'll probably get rebuked for this. I did last week. I had a church member come up and give me a what for on something I said, and I said, well, brother, why don't you come on out with us, you know, and see what's going on. Amen. He says, all right, I'll shut my mouth now. I said, no, you don't have to do that. It ain't about that. Why don't you come out and see? In the Bible, your job as a Christian is to be balanced. You're supposed to be hard when it's time to be hard and soft when it's time to be soft. Amen. And it's your job as a Christian to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit to know when that time process is going to happen. It's not all sap and gooey and feel good. It's not all fire and brimstone either. There's a balance to the Christian life. And it's not what you think the balance is or what God thinks the balance is. Because if you rely on what you think your Christian life balance is going to be, you'll mess it up. And you'll mess it up good. And Christian radio will help you mess it up. Amen. That's right. I said that. Christian radio will help you mess it up. You don't need Christian radio. You need a Bible-believing pastor, which you have, to teach you the book. You follow his example. You follow the examples given to us by the men of God in the Bible. And then you mark them, which cause divisions, against what you've read and heard in the Scripture. If you were to sit there with a piece of pencil, a pencil and a piece of paper and mark the divisions, you know what you would do? Your life would change. Because you wouldn't do 90% of the things that you do. And neither would I. Amen? Amen. Amen. Kind of weak. It's kind of weak. Amen, isn't it? You know why we don't want to change and grow? Because it hurts. It's painful. You pray and ask the Lord to get you closer. He'll put you through some pain. That's the Lord's way. You say, Lord, I want the power of this guy. Lord, I want this. Lord, I want to be closer to you. And then mark my word, the next week this happens. Then this happens. Then this happens. You're like, wow, really? Yeah, that's right. Because in your strength, in your own self-will, you can do nothing. You rely on Jesus Christ, and he will build you up. Amen. Some Christians think they are saved, and they're not. You get that all the time. Most of the opposition we get on the street are from saved people. They never grew in the Lord. I had one guy, we were driving down a couple weeks ago. He's driving in the middle of the street, and I happened to be standing. I watched his face. He went like this, did a double take. He's like, what the? If you can read his mind, guess what he's probably saying. And he pulls over, and he gets out, and he goes, you're not doing it the right way. I said, if I had a dollar for everybody to say that to me, I wouldn't have to work anymore. I said, why don't you show me how to do it? And I wasn't trying to be facetious. I was saying, look, I'm open. If I'm doing it the wrong way, here's my Bible, here's my sign. Why don't you go ahead and show me the right way to do it? They never do that, ever. Why? Because they just got to be right. They're being led by the devil. That's right. They're being led by the devil, and they want to stop God's word. You think I'm lying to you? Read Matthew chapter 13. Every time the word goes out, guess what? The fowls of the air come down like a seed, and they swoop it up and take it from you. That's how you know you're in the will of God. You got no opposition, so a good chance you're probably not in the will of God. Amen. I'll amen myself. I know a little bit about what's going on, and that's what's going on. If you're not getting opposition, why? Because they hate the gospel. They hate Jesus Christ. And you love them enough to give them the truth. You're not trying to be content. You're trying to see them saved, and they hate you for it. The Bible says they oppose themselves. That's what the Bible says. Amen. We had a guy the other day, that same guy I was telling you about. He's like, you're not doing it right. And he starts getting mad. He says, I'm saved and I'm this and I'm this. And I say, okay, great. I have one question for you, sir. Why are you out here tonight? Well, I still mess up. Yeah, we all do. But why are you out here tonight? You going to the bar? You getting drunk? That's how I talk to these people. I'm in their face, not meanly. I'm being honest with them. Because if I don't be honest with them, oh, it's okay, bro. Let's pray. Lord loves you. And then they turn around, walk in there and smoke up and get drunk and go fornicate. Really? Really? No. You're not supposed to be there. When I learn that a Christian is saved, a person saved, supposed to be a Christian, and I see them on the street disrespecting my father, I got a problem with it. I'm not saying go punch them in the mouth. I'm saying spiritually, I got an issue with it. I feel obligated to let them know in love. In love. How do you do that in love? You tell them the truth. Amen. If you love your kids, you know what you do? You tell them the truth. Amen. Honey, stay away from this one. Honey, stay away from this one. This guy just wants you for your body. Listen to me. Stay away from this one. He's going to get you in drugs. Right. Is that positive and pleasant and milky? No, that's the truth. Amen. Someone that loves you is going to give you the truth. So about an hour later, he comes out of the bar. He's all messed up, and I see him doing, I can't do it, my back's out, but he's bent way over, and I can't hardly see what he's doing, but I can smell the reefer. Right? I can smell the marijuana right there in front of me, in front of all of us. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, nothing. I'm like, you really? What are you doing? You're getting high? You're smoking pot in front of me? You're a child of God, and you're smoking marijuana. You're giving me a fit because I'm preaching the gospel, and you're smoking pot? You should be ashamed of yourself. What's wrong with you? Just like that. And he started getting mad at me and violent with me. He started pounding his chest and raising up. So I said, let's pray. He says, okay. Just like that. It's hilarious. That's what I did. And it worked. He prayed. He says, you know what? I'm sorry. And he gave me a hug. He says, I'm not supposed to be doing that. I said, no, you're not. I love you. Let's pray right now. You know what I tell him? I said, let's pray right now together and repent on our knees in front of everybody. Right now, let's do it. They never do it. I get on my knees in front of him. I go like this. This is what you do. Please, God, forgive me for fornicating tonight. Please, God, forgive me, God, for smoking cigarettes to fall in your temple. I do this in front of them, by the way. Right in front of everybody. I don't care. Lord, forgive me. I'm speaking as him. Forgive me for fornicating tonight. I'm sorry that I poured liquor down my temple. The Bible's... And I said, you know what? You can get right with God right now if you get on your knees with me. It's that simple. It's not a hard task. I get 10 bums a week coming by every 2 weeks, at least. Had one last night. He walks by me. He drops his sack of junk right in front of me. He stands next to me. He opens his Bible. It's all marked up. He's trying to get this, and I know it. And I'm not giving him a nickel because he's putting it up his nose. Amen. And I said, how you doing? Now, where are you going? I try to help him out a little bit, and he gives me a sob story he always gets. He asks me for money. I said, I can't give you no money. I said, he says, man, you don't understand how hard it is. I said, sure I do. The Bible says, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Amen. If you don't go, know what it says in Proverbs 7, if you don't go near her house, guess what? You won't get caught up, young man. That's what Proverbs 7 is all about. Amen. But you know what happens? You go anyway. You go into the devil's door, right, and he's taking you captive, and then you're saying, oh, well, I can't do nothing. Hello, stupid. Hello, dummy. Dumb, you're stupid. I want to help you. And you know what he did last night? He beat his chest, cursed me out, called me a couple four-letter words, and ran off. And I always say this. I said, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Christians know better, but they won't do it. Amen. You know better, but you won't do it. You'll hear a message like this. You won't respond. You hear 10 messages just like this from your preacher. You know we're telling you the truth because we care about you. And you know what you'll do this afternoon? You'll go home and sit in front of that stupid boob tube, and you'll watch this junk, and you'll let the fornication get in your mind, and then you come to church tonight and you say, praise the Lord. What is that? Amen. It's hypocrisy. Amen. You think God's pleased with that? No, of course not. It's time to get right, brother. You know what? If you got right, you know how good this church would be? Right, even better than it is. And I love this church, and this church is great. But if you actually put some effort, that leads me to one another thing I want to say, is that you have to put, you know, when you get saved, it's all grace and no effort. When you want to grow, it's all effort and no grace. And I'm not saying there's not grace involved. Hear me out. What I'm trying to say is that it's time for you to do some work. Christians think that I get saved to sit on a pew, and I'm happy, and the Lord's pleased with my life, and everything's cool, hunky-dory, kumbaya. That's not the Bible. The Bible says you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Not with Joel Osteen, okay? Not with Christian radio. You work it all out. It's all about me. If I'm lying, I'm dying. Lord knows as my heart and my witness. I'm serious. Go to your Christian radio station. Take 10 songs and write down the I's, the me's, and all these little personal pronouns that describe you and not the Lord, and write them down. Take 10 songs randomly throughout the day, come to me and say, Brother Joe, you're wrong because this is not what I found. I challenge you to do it. Amen. If you're listening to Christian radio and you think you're good with that, you think God's good with that, take me in my word and you rebuke me later and show me that I'm wrong. I know I'm not. It's for your good, for your edification. You know what edification? Edification hurts sometimes, but that's growth. Don't forget the grape. Don't forget the blueberry bush. An immature Christian is not grown yet. He lacks understanding. Right. He lacks discipline. A baby Christian has opportunity to grow in grace. A baby Christian doesn't know any better. There's a difference between immature and rebellious. A rebellious Christian knows what he or she is supposed to do but refuses to do it. That's rebellion. Churches today are full of rebellious Christians. You say, I don't like what you're saying. You know, you're being rebellious. Amen. If you have a spirit about you right now, you're like, man, I can't stand that guy. What does he think he is? You're being rebellious. Because I'm preaching you the word of God. You're not right. Amen. And when I'm not right, my wife rebukes me. Just kidding. She does, though. She helps me. Amen. We're all in this together. But listen, church. Churches today are full of rebellious Christians. And I already said that, but an immature Christian, now check this out. An immature Christian doesn't realize what he or she is doing wrong. There's a difference. Now hear me. Listen. This is part of growth. There's a part of growth where sometimes you don't realize what you're doing is wrong. And then when the Lord brings it to light, you're faced with a choice. You have to change something. Now, when you don't change something, it becomes sin and chargeable to you at the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. Amen. But a rebellious Christian, he already knows it, but he just won't do it. Right. Guess what? Your chargeable list is getting longer and longer at the judgment seat of Christ. Right. And you're going to give an account. The Bible says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The things that you do, your works as a Christian, are going to be exposed in the light of Jesus Christ at his judgment seat, amen, which you will go through as a Christian. It's not for heaven or hell. It's your works, your attitude, what you've done with the preaching you've heard, your attitude towards God, and your spiritual growth. It's kind of like God will judge you by what you could have done for him, not by what you could not have done for him. You hear me? We can't all be a Dr. Ruckman. We can't all be an Alan Ryman. We can't all be a Ryan or a Ken, thank God, or whatever. I say that tongue-in-cheek, but we can't, because God gives gifts to everybody differently, the Bible says. And we all have a different function. We all have a different job. And you're going to be accountable for what you're supposed to do. And if you're not doing it, it's sin. It says that in Hebrews. It says, I think it's Hebrews, for him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him, to you, it is what? Sin. Sin, brethren. If you're not growing like you're supposed to, it's sin. You're wrong. It's sin. If you're happy in your Christian walk and where you're at in your growth, it's sin. You're supposed to go up to the next level. You're supposed to strive for that thing. Marks of a mature Christian. Here's statement one. I got maybe 10 minutes and we're done, but that's okay. A mature Christian is not self-centered. How about that one? Amen. A mature Christian is not self-centered. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Nothing like a Bible to straighten out the kinks in your head, right? Mine included. This is one of the first verses that I memorized for myself to help me out. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 21, for all seek their own. And we can stop right there. You know what that says? The Bible says that you seek what you want for yourself and you don't care about anybody else. That's what the Bible says. 2:21, it says, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Naturally, Christian, you seek what favors you, what pleases you, what pleases your wife, what pleases your family. Naturally, you seek those things. But the Bible says that's in contrast to what Jesus Christ is all about. The Bible says this about your mind. It says the carnal mind is enmity against God. It means an enemy. It means your mind, the way it sits on your brain, on your shoulders right now, naturally, it's against God. It's not subject to God's laws, neither can it be. It's against God. And for growth, you have to realize that your thoughts are not his thoughts. Amen. Amen. You have to realize that what you desire is probably not what God desires naturally. I didn't say spiritually, I said naturally. Most Christians today are more concerned about themselves than the things of God. You are to fight against it. That's your battle. As a Christian, you're supposed to be a soldier, it says in 2 Timothy. You're supposed to fight against self-centeredness. You know, I say you, and I'm not pointing you out, I'm saying the person that's self-centered. You think the world revolves around you. You do. You think that everything revolves around you. What can I get at work, right? How can my car work for me? What radio station do I like best for me? Your world revolves around you. That's not Bible. By the way, that's not Bible. You think the church revolves around you. You know how many hundreds of times I heard people swapping churches left and right? Why? Because they just didn't have the programs for my youth like I wanted them to. It's all about you, isn't it? Where's Jesus Christ in that? Did you pray about it? Did you ask God to place you in a local assembly where you should be? Or are you just church hopping because of your feelings? And you want to feel good because there's a program that you think would interest your kid. Where's God in all that? Where's God in your decisions? A mature Christian is not self-centered. The truth is, everything is to revolve around Jesus Christ. Your time, around Jesus Christ. Your TV shows, around Jesus Christ. Your music, Jesus Christ. If you can listen to what you listen to and picture the Lord sitting next to you and saying, good job, you're all right. You going to take the Lord to an AC/DC concert? Huh? You going to take Jesus Christ into some of this country slot music that y'all listen to? I know what's on there. I listen to it, right, for educational purposes. When I jump in my boss's truck, I turn on what he's listening to. I want to hear what's going on. I'm trying to get in his mind and win him to Christ. You know what it is? Fornication. It's slop. Amen. And that's what a Christian likes, slop. Why? Why do you like it? Nobody knows. Amen. It's not popular, but it's necessary. Jesus Christ, how about this? Your friends, Jesus Christ should be your friend. Not only that, is all of the friends that you have that you call a real friend, they should be born again believers. You have no business with a non-believer. No business with them. I didn't say don't win them. I didn't say don't have a cup of coffee with them and try to tell them about Christ, try to care about them. I didn't say that. I said your friends. Because they'll influence your mind for the world and not for Jesus Christ. Amen. How about your conversation? I'm talking about Christian growth here. Now remember the heading of this subtitle here is a mature Christian is not self-centered. Your conversation, what do you talk about? I've often heard the old preachers say, you can find out a lot about a man about what he talks about, because he'll talk about what he loves. And some of you in here talk about everything else except for Jesus Christ. You talk about sports. There's a lot of Christians that know more about sports than know about their Bible. That's sin, brethren. I'm just putting it out there. It is. They can name me every sports character. They can name me every race car guy and every track that's out there. And they can name me this and name me that, but they couldn't give me four verses on raising your child for Jesus Christ. Not four. Not even two, probably. Probably not one without opening their Bible. Why is that? Because you're self-centered. Amen. I'm trying to help you today. You're self-centered. Your thoughts. Your thought life, it's all about, think about today when you go out to eat, when you're walking around as a Christian today, okay, I want you to think about this. What am I thinking about? You know, am I thinking about myself or am I thinking about something pertaining to God, Jesus Christ, or spiritual matters? Your thoughts, your actions are self-centered. How about your actions? Why do you do what you do? I'm asking a question. Why do you do it? Well, I have to feed my family. Sure you do. I understand that. I have to go to work. I understand that. But why do you do what you do? It should be because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The Bible says, whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with what? All thy might, it says. Doesn't it say that? You're supposed to work as unto the Lord and not unto yourself, the Bible says. A mature Christian is not self-centered. Leadership. How about that? The leadership that you follow is not self-centered in this church. It's through Jesus Christ. Amen. Think about that. Your boss is at work. My boss at work, all he cares about is this. All he cares about is how I can make him more money. And I'm kin. I'm related to him. That's all he cares about. That's self-centeredness. That's self-centeredness. Amen. The next one is a mature Christian is sincere. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. Same book. Flip her over one page or so. 1 verse 10. The Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter 1 and verse 10 that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. You know what we got out there today? We got a bunch of clowns. We got a bunch of Christian clowns. I'm just being honest with you. It's like the Barnum and Bailey Circus. And then, oh, here's the track. You're a fool, dude. You're an idiot. You're a fool. I know Christians like that. Their whole life revolves around games. Their whole life revolves around feeling good. And the whole life revolves around enjoyment and pleasure and what? entertainment. The church is not here to entertain you, Christian. The church is here to help you to grow and to help present you spotless before the day of Jesus Christ. Because I'm not concerned about your entertainment. I'm not concerned about making you feel good. My job as a God-called preacher is to help you to grow. And if you're not going to grow, you're in sin. Amen. Doors closed, book shut. It's in your lap, Christian. It's in my lap. If I don't read my Bible and discipline myself, then guess I'm at fault. I'm a sinner. I need to get right with God. And so do you. Amen. I'm not saying don't have a good time and don't laugh and don't have a, but I'm saying that we live in a day and age where that's an extreme. Everybody goes so far to the left to try to prove a point of not being too hard, and they miss everything and end up being a fool. Bible says in Proverbs, what? It's better to meet a bear than a fool in his folly. Not a normal bear, but a bear that has been, the cubs have been taken away. I've read 3 books on bears. You know what they can do when you mess with their cubs? It's amazing. It's insane. I'm just trying to say that a mature Christian is sincere about his Christian walk. A mature Christian is sincere about his Bible reading. A mature Christian is sincere about soul winning. A mature Christian is sincere about his or her growth. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5. I got a few more minutes here. I know you're probably waiting for me to sit down. That's all right. 1 Peter chapter 5. And look at verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. You should be familiar with this verse. It says, be what? Be sober. Why? Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil wants to devour you and your family, and he's doing it by TV, and he's doing it by social media, and he's doing it by worldly music, and you allow him to do this, and then your life gets in a shamble, and then you say, oh, I need help. How about getting help right now? Before you ever get to that point. How about that? The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your enemy is after you to get you, seeking whom he may devour. He doesn't get them all. It says seeking whom he may, but he'll get some of you, won't he? He's got some of you right now, and you know it. But it says in verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brother that are in the world, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have what? Felt good for a little while. No. It says suffer. You're going to go through some suffering in this life. You say, it's not making me feel very good. Well, I'm sorry. I want to make you feel good, but I'm more concerned about feeding you the truth. Amen. After that ye had suffered for a while, I make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. You know why some of you are very unsettled? Because you haven't been through affliction properly. You're not taking it as unto the Lord. A little something comes your way, and the first thing you think about is, I got to fix this problem. I'll just run my credit card. I'll just do this. I'll just do that. And where's God in all that stuff? Where's God in your life? He's absent. The mature Christian looks for God in his life. Amen. A mature Christian is sincere. I realize there's a balance to life, but modern Christianity, the Laodicean church age, there's no balance. It's all about you. It's all give me, give me, what can I do, and what makes me feel good. And now this Bible's too offensive, so now they go to all these other Bible versions. And now Christians get mad at you when you talk about transgender signs at Ross's or Target or whatever. I had a Christian last night freak out on me because I even mentioned it. He freaked out on me. Really? Why? That's okay with you? You're not in your Bible, are you, pal? Amen. About being balanced. It's not what you think a balanced Christian is. It's what the Bible says a balanced Christian is. Because you can't trust your own thoughts because they're off. Amen. They're not right if they don't line up with this Bible. Amen. Turn to Proverbs chapter 11. We're almost done. We've got about 2 minutes. We should be stopping now, but I'm pushing it. I like to push things sometimes. Proverbs chapter 11. It's for your edification, brother. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be ruthless. I'm not trying to be a Ruckmanite. I'm just trying to be a Bible-lite. I'm just trying to show you what the Word of God says. I'm trying to show you the stuff that I've seen over the years that's tried and it's proven. I'm not up here just trying to give you some flim-flam, some junk that I think that will help you. I'm showing you stuff that's helped me. I'm showing you things from the Bible that I know, as God is my witness, will help you to grow. Amen. Amen. But you got to want it. Proverbs 11:1, we're almost through. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. A just weight. And there's another verse that talks about all the works of the Lord are in his bag, and he's the one that does all the balancing in your life. I don't have time to run all the references for that. But the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, he will balance you as a Christian if you'll allow him. But you better forsake the things of this world. You better get alone with God and let him work on you. You cannot take the influence of the world and expect to be a balanced Christian. It is not going to happen. Amen. And I'll leave you with this thought right here. And this is a disturbing thought. It's not something I even like to think about. But we talk about laughing, we talk about fools, and we talk about this stuff. I like to have a good time. Don't get me wrong. There's a time and a place to have a good time. The Bible says that a merry heart doeth good like a what? What happens if you take too much medicine? You overdose and you die. Think about that. So a Christian who goes around and just, I'm happy, 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 happy all the time. You know, they're overdosing on medicine God provided for their life. And guess what happens? They're spiritually sick. They can't see properly. That's what the verse is teaching. Have you ever seen that? Yeah. Amen. That's what it says. That's right. Have a little bit of fun, and that's good. I talked about being spiritually sick. Now, my parting thought is this, is you should align yourself to think like God thinks. You should align yourself to think like the Bible thinks. Can anybody in here tell me where God laughed in the Bible? I know there's a handful of people in here. Do you know where God laughed in the Bible? Anybody know? How about Jesus? Did he ever laugh in the Bible? Anybody know? Go ahead, raise your hand. Show me. Where did Jesus laugh in the Bible? I know it says he rejoiced, but Psalms chapter 2. You know what it tells you? I challenge you. Take a look at that thing. Now, this is on being sobering. I'm not trying to get you to be too hard-hearted. In Psalms chapter 2, it has references to people that are rebellious against God, and he's going to judge them, and it says God laughs at them when they're in derision, it says, in Psalms 2. That's the character and nature of the holy God of the universe. And you take that lightly, and you think you should just laugh and joke all the time? Christian life is serious. Now, I got to close. I got people waiting to get in here. They can't wait to hear the preacher, right? Amen. Let's pray that we wait to get in here to get changed. Let's pray that we wait to get in here to get some growth. Because, you know, this church will be it'll be unbelievable if we all start to grow like we're supposed to, including myself. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Sunday school hour. I didn't mean to push it so far. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm trying to be helpful. And, Father, I pray you take the truths that were said and preached and talked about today and drive it in our hearts and help us to be more militant in our walk and in our Bibles. And I know that you'll balance us out the way that we're supposed to be. And I thank you for this time, and I pray for the rest of this day. May it glorify your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.